Well, the story you're about to hear is what happened to me and my life just about 4.5 years ago. This is a tiny glimpse into the great danger and deception that our nation and that Cary, North Carolina is in, and our modern culture that says this is what it's all about in this country. What you see up above is the cover of the book that I'm writing. It's also paradoxically a tiny glimpse into the infinite love of the true and loving God who will do whatever it takes to save a man. My journey began in 1967, where I was raised and born in Wilmington, Delaware. I went to a private school most of my life. I was an only child. I was busy with school, playing, doing what most kids do. But I was raised in the absence of religion or the knowledge of the true and living God. God was absent from everything I had ever seen or heard in the world. There was no mention of him anywhere. There was some religion, but it was not in people's personal lives. People were not talking about what the Lord has done or was doing for them. They weren't talking about him. It was about church, and that's it. The world clearly told me there's no knowable answer. So as a result, I followed the paradigm of life that the world presented to me in this country. Let me work hard to build myself a career and reach the top of society's status. Let me make a name for myself. Let me provide my own protection and covering. Let me enjoy life and seek all its pleasures. While by age 11, the world had shaped my heart. They had taught me that I had evolved from cosmic soup through apes from nothing. That it was all about me, my desires, my will, that I had it all, that God was not knowable, relevant, or important to daily life. That's what silence says. Went on to high school, got A's, continued on in life, just one goal after the next. You see, you get busy with one goal after the next, having a good old time, decided to go to med school, went to college, got A's there, graduated with a 4.0, magna cum laude, accepted to medical school at Jefferson in Philly, then consumed with that for 4 years. But God was absent. No one was reading the Bible, never even saw a Bible. No one talking about Jesus, no mention of him anywhere. So after 21 years in this nation, which is labeled a Christian nation, all the people I saw, all the things I did, he was irrelevant, unknowable, and undesirable. From the national museums to the media to the schools to courses in biology to evolution, God was unknowable and irrelevant. Now, what you see here is a picture of our National History Museum in Washington, D.C., that I went several times as a kid. And that's a little exhibit where they say, you are a primate, and they show you how you've evolved from monkeys. And every day, hundreds, if not thousands, of kids are being indoctrinated into this. I certainly was. How would you believe that this isn't true? Well, you wouldn't. It would be true. Well, went on to med school, did nothing but studied. And you would think there, where you're studying the human body, right, that if there was even a chance or maybe a theory or a possibility of something other than evolution, they would mention it, or that God might be recognized or glorified in some way. No, not at all. And let me say this. Silence is not neutrality. It's not political correctness. Silence is a witness as to what is true and what's important and what's real. And it does as much or more damage than anything else. Well, I met my wife, Ruth, in the third year of medical school and was married in the fourth year. When you go quickly. Graduated number one in my class, accepted into dermatology at Duke after a year, went to Duke, became chief resident, did a fellowship in Mohs surgery, opened the Cary Skin Center, which is a skin cancer surgery center here in Cary. You don't want to go there. You don't want to see me there. And, just continued on in life and still chasing one goal after the next. Well, once you've reached it, once you've gone to the best schools, gotten the grades, gotten to become a doctor, have a beautiful wife, have nice kids, a dog, the picket fence, the car, the clothes, the trips, the restaurants, you have the whole thing, then you've reached what this country says is the American dream. This is what it's all about. I did it, guys. I solved the maze of life the United States presented to me. The world told me this is what you need to do. This is what you need to have to be happy. Well, look at my wonderful family. Isn't it picturesque? Isn't it wonderful? Isn't this what it's all about? Well, it would be if this is all that there is. It would be if everything is the way it's supposed to be. And this modern world of highly evolved man, which is what we're taught, it's a great deception and it's a lie. So get ready. Well, I had a few clues. Always had empty space. Nothing ever did it. So what do? Well, you go to hobbies, entertainment, possessions, parties, running, triathlons, mountain biking, wine. I mean, you may know people that are always going from one thing to the next. Why? Because you're empty and you're seeking something to fill the empty space, to keep you preoccupied, to fill the void. But it never lasts. That's why you go on to the next thing. And you could spend your whole life chasing this. Some people who don't have the money to do it think, if I only had this or if I only had that. No, don't do that. So wow, after 36 years and you have this and you've done it, you're going to be bitter, you're going to be frustrated, you're going to be cynical, depressed. Maybe that's why the movie stars and people with money have so many problems. Another clue was that I realized you never have enough time. You see, when you have a family, if you have any kind of a heart at all, and I had a little one, you wonder, well, what happens to this when I die? What happens to this in 100 or 200 years? Is it just gone? You see, if your memories are not rooted in eternity now, then they're meaningless. Love demands eternity now. It demands a certainty of eternal life now. You need to know now, but the world says there's no answer. So now you have the American dream. Then you have this, and you realize you don't know what's going to happen to this. If it's just you, it's different. What happens to your kids? Well, then you're really a setup for emotional problems and all kinds of things. And I had them. C.S. Lewis said, wow, if everything in the whole world doesn't make me happy, maybe I'm not created for this world. Wow, well, he was on to something. That sounds crazy today, doesn't it? That's radical. I wouldn't have believed it. There's nothing the world told me. There can't be an answer because there's too many religions out there, too many people believing too many different things. Well, my journey began buying the Bible mad. That's right, mad. Went into the Christian bookstore with a disguise. A hat and sunglasses, I wouldn't be caught dead in there. And you didn't see me because you wouldn't have recognized me. Wasn't going to be seen in there. And I couldn't buy a Bible. A Bible looks like a Bible. So I bought a PC study Bible and put it on my computer so no one knew what I was doing. People aren't walking around reading the Bible. I'm sorry. I certainly wasn't going to be seen with one if no one else was. So I started reading it, read the four Gospels. Why were they telling the same story over and over again? After the third time, I'm like, I know this already. Hello. That didn't make any sense. But what caught my attention was as Jesus claimed to be God on earth. Now, no one had ever told me that. All the exhortations, come to church, go to church, you need to go to church. No one said Jesus Christ was God, that God came on earth and he wants to know you. Come to church, not come to Jesus, you say. So I started a search for truth in a world that says there is no truth in the least likely place, in the book that no one reads, people say is inaccurate, and all everything else. I read everything, studied the resurrection, read Josh McDowell's New Evidence 1 and 2. And I said, can I believe it? It has to be a true historical event. There are denominations and pastors out there that say it doesn't matter. That Jesus is a concept, it's an idea, he died for a cause. This is taught in major seminaries, some of them in this state. Well, that wasn't going to do it for me. That's nonsense. If that's all it was, forget it. But was it a true historical fact? So I looked at the Bible. The first thing I looked at was its historical credibility. So I said, well, what other events in history are we taking as fact, and how do we take them as fact? And you look at two things. You look at the number of manuscripts that you have, and the interval between when they were written and the time from when the last one that you have is, the latest one that you have, because they had to be copied over and over again. They didn't last for, you know, much longer like the paper that we have today. So let's take something from the time of Jesus, Caesar's Wars, about 50 BC. We have 10 manuscripts, an interval of 1,000 years from the time of the war to the earliest manuscript that we have dated. That's accepted as fact. No questions about these things. The next greatest is the Iliad, 643 manuscripts, an interval of 400 years. Well, when I got to the New Testament, 25,000, an interval of 30 to 60 years. That's an embarrassment to anything else in historical history. There's nothing that comes close. I don't care what topic in history you pick. I gave you the best numbers that they've got. That was a clue. I smelled a rat. Something's funny. Why didn't I hear about this? No one was talking about it. Something's funny. It's too big of a discrepancy. Then I looked at the internal evidence. You have eyewitness accounts that says, I was there, I saw this happen, I did it. That's a pretty good testimony. You have a physician. Physicians usually disprove miracles. Physician says, I was there. I went, I checked these things out and made sure I got it right. The testimonies of the apostles were given in the face of fierce opposition. They said, you guys know, you saw this, you know it's true. It was never refuted. Even in the ancient rabbinic literature, it is documented in the Talmud that Jesus did miracles. It's there. You go online and Google it and find it for yourself. It was never refuted. Then you look at the external evidence. Archaeology supports the historicity of the Bible over and over again. Then you look at the transformation of the apostles. A lot of people are blowing themselves up today for what they feel is true, but they're deceived. They think it's true. The apostles would have known it was false if they invented this in their minds, and people don't do that. You can't explain the apostle Paul, someone persecuting Christians, killing them, suddenly changing venue. The only thing that made sense is that these people saw the risen Lord Jesus. Now, looked at the resurrection. That's key. He had to rise or the whole thing falls apart. More you study it, it's inescapable. There's no other explanation. None of the medical explanations that he didn't really die or any of that stuff, and they dragged him off. Let me tell you something. You don't survive what he went through, okay? And any other theory made no sense, so I was trapped. I had to believe it. On top of that, we have the Old Testament, something that many Jewish people today believe has nothing to do with the new, and it points to Jesus everywhere, predicts everything hundreds, if not thousands of years before he came, predicted the day that he would ride into town. I mean, it's inescapable. The odds of just fulfilling 8 prophecies, and he fulfilled over 66, is 1 times 10 to the 17th, an incomprehensible number. So we have an intellectual acceptance of Jesus. Now I can believe, go to church, my wife will leave me alone, all you guys will think I'm a nice guy, and that's it. That's what it's about, right? You intellectually believe that Jesus is God. You go to church, God sees you in church, he pats you on the back, says you're a good boy, and that's it. That's what being a Christian is. You pay your respects once a week, and that's all there is. Well, that's all I thought there is. No one ever told me anything else. My friend said, go to church, you know, it ain't too bad. You can make it through it and make a few business contacts. Hey, that's what I heard. Well, a lady who works for me made an interesting comment to me. She says, and she's a Christian. She just threw this out there. But, you know, be careful what you say to unbelievers. She said, I hope the Holy Spirit reveals himself to you. Wow, what's that mean? I was at home in my office that night. I'm looking up. I thought something was going to come out of the wall. But I didn't know what that meant. Well, this is a matter now of about 2 weeks' time span. I became convicted of the problems in my life. I remembered Romans 1 and 2 and 3, where Paul says, I'm done, I'm dead, I'm in sin, I have no chance of making it. So I went to the bed, cried, repented, apologized, begged for change, asked God to save me. But I didn't do it to join a church. I didn't do it to please my parents. I didn't do it because it's what society says is nice. I didn't do it as part of a trained, rehearsed ceremony where someone told me what to say. I didn't do it to enter a religion. I did it because I knew I needed the righteousness of God to be saved and make heaven. Then I thought, you weirdo, you sissy, crying at the bed. Wah, 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 wah. You know, guys have pride. I mean, we do. So I went to bed. I wasn't going to tell anyone. Slept like a baby. Didn't think anything else about it. Now realize, for those of you who know what I'm talking about, I didn't understand what I had done. This just happened to me one night. I found what I could believe in. That's all that mattered. Well, when I woke the next day, I was in for a surprise. Everything was different. I mean everything. 98% of the bad qualities in me, gone, just like that. Now, envy, ambition, bitterness, selfishness, stress, irritability, gone. Replaced with patience, profound peace, no emptiness, no longing, and this one was really blew me away, a love for people I didn't even like. That's a weird feeling. Some of you I didn't like, but I love you now. That's weird. I mean, I didn't know what was going on. You got to get inside my life here. You learn what you're like after 36 years of living on this planet. Well, as a doctor, I knew the biological and neurological basis of emotions and how we interact. There are chemical, neurological wirings to these things. They just don't change. So I went and checked the medicine cabinet. Maybe my antihistamine was replaced with Valium. Then I thought something was wrong with me. Maybe I'm sick. Maybe I have cancer. Couldn't tell anyone. I'll lose my medical license. You know, you just don't know. So I said, I'm going to put it to the test. I was a hyper impatient guy. Some of you people who know me, I see you nodding out there. Stop that. I went to Walmart and Christmas and stood in a long line to see if I would get impatient or mad. Nothing. It was crazy. I wanted to be mad. Well, the mind can't consider what it doesn't know is possible. When you find your entire existence radically changed with no possible explanation, it's not comforting as a proud doctor. Then I went back to the Bible, and I think the Lord in heaven says, okay, well, let him know what's going on now. We've had our laughs. I figured it out. I mean, he showed it to me that I was saved. I didn't even know there was a saved or there was a such thing as being saved. That the moment that I did that, that something actually happened to me, the Holy Spirit came into me and sealed me. We're going to go into that in a minute. Well, that blew me away. Christianity is not something you believe, but something you become. Wow. Well, that's a miracle. That's a living modern day miracle. People say, well, why doesn't God do miracles today? How come he isn't doing anything, changing water into wine or something like that? Let me tell you something. Biologically, physiologically, what he did to me, it's a miracle. Things physically, chemically changed in me to make that happen. Maybe even at the DNA level, we don't know. Well, I realized that God heard what I said and acted upon it. Wow, there's 6 billion people on the planet. Ponder that. Don't overlook the profoundness that he hears what you say and acts upon it. And not only that, he knows the heart behind the words. All reality changes instantly when you realize that fact. There are no more secrets. The world isn't what we think it is. What we see isn't even what's really there. How does he hear what we say? Amazing. Well, it was a difficult realization then as I began to think this through, that God was on top of and all around me my entire life. And I never spoke to him, and I didn't hear anyone else either. That's profound. Wow. Well, this, the Bible, for me, just being fairly simple in logic, became instantly true cover to cover. If God can hear me and know what I'm thinking with 6 billion people on the earth, he can put a paperback book into existence that is exactly the way he wants it. Hello. Heaven was real. That was good. I was afraid to die. I mean, I thought about these things. Who wants to not know? That was nice. Hell was real. I was going to hell. People don't believe in hell today. Pastors don't believe it. Jesus does. I'm going to go with what he said. He talked about it more than heaven. I was going there. Don't be deceived. Thank God. Why didn't I ever hear about this? Why wasn't anyone talking about it? Why wasn't it on the media? Why were Christians saying that born again is a weird term? I knew something was wrong and it was a sign. So I couldn't tell anyone. I didn't even tell my wife. I just lived for a week, went around Cary to see if I could find anywhere any bit of this truth, and I found none of it anywhere. No one talking about him, nothing. I observed for 1 week. and realized that everything I was ever taught was a lie, all of it. The reason I'm here, what I'm supposed to be doing, what's important, the priorities, none of it was true. How easy is that to swallow? You wonder why people fight it? You wonder why people with this fight it? You see, I was saved and didn't know it. I wouldn't have believed it going forward. He basically tricked me into being saved. It's the only way he could save me. You're not going to believe that that's a deception and a lie. You're going to fight that tooth and nail as a prideful man. Now, I had to tell people about this. Now, you need to understand that the secular man who's never been to church, doesn't understand anything, would assume that if the story is true, that everyone would believe it who says they do, right? I mean, it's all good. You're going to heaven. God loves you. He created you. Eternal life, the whole bit. There's nothing bad. There's nothing weird about it. It's all good that everyone would believe it. Everyone who went to church or said, I'm a Christian, would believe it. You would never think anything else. Got to get inside the mindset of me who never went. So I started telling people, thinking that they would say, oh, thank goodness, we'll welcome you into the family. I'm so glad you've been saved. We've been praying for you. We knew you were evil. We never thought you could be saved. Well, that's not what happened. I told church people, they looked at me like I was weird. They didn't understand what I was talking about. Some of them didn't want to talk to me anymore. The word saved, born again, was a problem. They didn't know the Bible, didn't read the Bible, didn't even believe the Bible was the word of God. Didn't want to hear what the gospel said. Wow. Well, I called Pastor Rodney over to my house and said, I think I'm going crazy. I said, I know this is true. I know this has happened to me. People don't believe it. Church people. I said, what's going on? It doesn't make any sense. Why are they arguing with me? And then he laid it out for me, sat me down, told me the deception, which we're going to talk about, that it's churchianity out there, not Christianity. Well, I read a verse in the Bible that says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it's he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Wow. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Well, that's kind of an interesting promise, isn't it? He's going to manifest himself to you and make his home with you. Well, the great commandment said to love God with all of our hearts. I had read that. Now he defines love as obedience to his word. It's here. It's the only place I know where you can find God's word. And I realized that in a relationship, if you want to know me, you need to spend time with me and talk to me, and I need to talk back to you. Relationship is spending time with a word exchange, words back and forth, my words to you, your words to me. If we sit there together or don't spend time together, there can't be a relationship. So what did I do? This is very simple, but people don't know this, guys. I prayed a lot, talking to God. I read the Bible, him talking to me. Does that make sense? Very simple. I began to grow. He began to change things in my life, my perspective. He's changed everything for the good. Anything that I've given up, anything that he has taken away has been for my good. Any difficulty or trial, it's all been for my good. He's changed my marriage. He's saved my family, my kids, parents. Don't be afraid. Don't think you're going to be some weirdo sissy Christian. When you enter into a relationship and start doing what I've told you to do, you don't want to do those things anymore. You realize the emptiness and the void and the futility of them, and you don't want them anymore. So don't be afraid. He didn't send me off to Africa or anything weird. I'm still a physician. I'm still a doctor. I still live in my same house. He uses me right where I am. Now, isn't this great? Smart doctor with all the degrees, figured it out. He intellectually went through the scriptures, figured out that Christianity's true, and was saved. No, not at all. Let me tell you something. This was the Lord saving me the whole time. He did it. He revealed it to me. He set me up. He orchestrated the whole thing. He put me in the job, in the house, in all the places I needed to be saved. That's a God of love. Maybe you are in a position where you've been surrounded by Christians, that's him trying to reach you. He works through his people. See that. You don't figure it out on your own. God comes and rescues you, himself and his sovereignty. Now, there's someone here probably who's uncomfortable at what I'm saying. They're thinking, well, I believe in God. I was baptized. That's a common one. I grew up in a Christian family. I'm a blank, and insert your denomination. I'm a church member. I've recited a sinner's prayer. I'm a good person. I try and be nice. I try and do what's right. We're going to talk about salvation now and its mechanism, because this is understood in rampant levels, even in the Bible Belt. Romans says that the wages of sin is death, and that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, death is separation. Death is separation. It's a state of disconnectedness. If you remember one thing, remember that. Death is separation. The Bible's clear. Man is born spiritually dead, separated, disconnected from God. A good analogy is a PC and a giant supercomputer. The PC is designed to interact with the supercomputer, designed to be connected to it, send traffic back and forth. But a virus of sin enters the computer. The cord is clipped. There's separation so that the virus can't be in the presence of the mainframe, you see. That's how you're born. Separation causes a malfunction in the way we act and think. You don't have to teach a child to lie or be a brat or talk back. We've all had lying, envy, bitterness, hatred, lust. Every one of us in here, if you're honest, jealousy. You see, but we've been brainwashed in this nation through the media and everything else that this is normal and the way it's supposed to be. It's not. It's a result of a sign of spiritual separation from God. We are born with something drastically wrong with us. You're not a sinner because you sin and do bad things. You do bad things and sin because you're born separated from God, and that has side effects. You need to understand that. It's a result of something that is wrong with us inherently in our nature. And it's not normal. Turn off the TV. That brainwashes you into thinking everything's normal with everyone laughing and having a good time. Don't think it doesn't. Some of the most innocent TV shows are the ones that make life look all nice without God. The Brady Bunch. Hey, it's true. Now, at death, you will stay separated from God. He's holy, perfect, and sinless. No one can go into his presence with sin. You started off separated, you stay separated. You need the righteousness of God to go to heaven. Jesus said it himself. See, people don't read the whole Bible. They cherry-pick verses out in churches today. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, you know the whole thing, right? He gave his only begotten son. Listen to what he says after that. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. It's over. God doesn't send anyone to hell. We choose by not believing. We're born disconnected from God. You have to understand that. So man has two problems. Two. He's born separated from God, and he is in a sinful state. He has lots of sins, even as a result of that separation. So if man needs to be restored, he has to be reconnected to God, brought back together, and obtain the righteousness of God. Now, people say, well, that's not fair, that's ridiculous, that's asking too much, that's crazy, no one can do that. That's exactly the point. That's how far fallen we are. Only God can provide the answer. Now, if you understand those two basic facts of man's existence and salvation, then a lot of the false teaching in churches today, and it's rampant, doesn't make any sense. Being nice, getting sprinkled with water, volunteering, sacraments, religion, a ceremony where you're taught what to say and everyone's happy that now you're entered into the religion. That doesn't do it. That doesn't give you the righteousness of God. That doesn't get you reconnected. No act that you can do or official program that you go through can solve those two problems, you see. It doesn't even make sense. Jesus said it. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot go to heaven. Something radical has to happen to you, which we've talked about. Reconnection, righteousness of God. Man can't do anything and control that. That would be controlling the power of God. If I could say, I sprinkle water on this baby, and the baby's saved, then I'm commanding the Holy Spirit of God to come down from heaven. I'm acting like God. That's nonsense. Now, Corinthians says, therefore, if any was in Christ, he is a new creation. You see, again, radical change. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling himself to the world, not imputing or charging their sins against them, and has given us the word of reconciliation. We're ambassadors for Christ, imploring you as God pleads through us to be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin, that's Jesus, to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He died in our place. Eternal God became sin for man so that man wouldn't have to die. Your penalty is to die and be separated. He died. He was separated. Ephesians says that after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. You see, and we've talked about this, that when a man repents of his sin, that's a change. You realize you have a problem and you want to change and go in a new direction. That's repentance. You could come down here today crying because you're upset and sorry over your sin. That's not repentance. The earliest words in the Gospels are repent, repent, repent. John the Baptist and Jesus, what did they say first? Repent. You must repent. You've got to want to change. When you do that and trust in Jesus for your salvation, not a religious system, not a ceremony, not a water baptism, not anything that any man says or does, not an indoctrination, not a certificate, not a party that gets thrown when you're 13. When you trust in Jesus, after repenting, you're saved. The Holy Spirit enters you. You're reconnected. Now you get the righteousness of God. Now, union is life. Now you're alive. Ephesians also says, you who were dead in sin, he has made alive. See, eternal life starts now. Remember I said eternity, love demands eternity now. Eternal life starts now. When you're saved, you know that you're going to heaven. You know something has happened. Christianity has a real test. No other religion has that. Wow. Something you become, not something you believe. Now, he did it all. He said it is finished. If he's given you the righteousness of God, lost our slide there somehow. If he gives you the righteousness of God and you're reconnected, there's nothing else that you can do. Now, this dispels another set of false teachings out there, rampant in churches today. You can't earn your way to heaven. If you're saved, you have the righteousness of God. There's nothing else you can do or do. Purgatory is impossible. It's impossible. It doesn't even make any sense. I mean, it's unbelievable. This is basic doctrine in the Bible, 101. If you understand it, realize that when you do that, I'm working my way to heaven or I'm being nice. You know what you're doing? You're telling God that what he did isn't enough. Oh, that's a different ballgame. It's nice that you died, Jesus, but it's up to me now to get myself in with my good works. Are my people paying money or praying or whatever it is? That's as close to blasphemy as there is. I'm sorry. I'm going to tell it like it is. Salvation is by grace through faith, that not of yourselves, not of works. No one can boast. Now, you are either saved and in Christ or you're not. You're either dead or you're alive. He's done it all for you or he's done nothing at all. This is the most important event in human history. The Trinity of God was separated. It wasn't just the penalty on the cross of him being whipped and beaten. That was the minor part of it. We can't even understand it. I bet it takes eternity to figure out what that means, what he did, how high the price of sin was. That means how fallen we are. The longer I walk with him, the more I understand, because the more evil I realize I am apart from him. No other world religion has God on earth with a Savior rescuing you from death and sin. No other religion has the explanation and answer for sin. No one has God rising from the dead. All of their other prophets or whatever they are dead and they were just men. Nothing even compares to this. People complain that there's one way to be saved when I've just shown you that's the only way. What more crazy, unbelievable way could there be than God himself to come and become a man and die in man's place? There's only one God. There's only going to be one way. Thank goodness there is a way. See, the other religions don't even make sense. Well, do you know how many families there are like this in Cary? You have any idea? It's unbelievable. They're everywhere, I can assure you. A lot of them go to church. A lot of them are deceived. I've had pastors in my office tell me that it doesn't even matter if Jesus was literally here in history. Major denominations. That's what's out there. They say, oh, it's just a God of love, and the God of love wouldn't send anyone to heaven. We just talk about the love of God. I'm going to dispel that nonsense right now. A God of love came in person and died, separated himself in the Trinity of God so that we could go to heaven. That's the God of love. Don't give me that nonsense. If you're this family, he loves you, and he brought you here today to save you. Jesus said in the day of judgment, many people, Greek word means maybe greater than 50%, will say, Lord, Lord, I did this, I did that. He'll say, depart from me, I didn't know you. Lord is a term of relationship. That means people think that they know him and they don't. How many people here even call him Lord, or is he the Lord of your life? He's saying people that call him Lord still are deceived. We need to be careful. You need to examine yourself and be very careful if you have not understood exactly what I'm talking about. This is real. And God loves you. And you're here and brought here today because he wants to save you. Just like he did with me, he orchestrated everything. You didn't decide to come here with a friend, or you didn't decide I'll get up and go to church today. No, no, no. He brought you here to hear this because he works through his people. That's what he did for me. Today is your day to escape. The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Think about it. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for you, that you might become the righteousness of God. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, there's a lot of nonsense that goes on with altar calls and everything. God doesn't need an altar call to save anyone. Hey, if you feel convicted and you want to run down here, make a public proclamation and give your life to the Lord, we're going to bring our pastors and our deacons down, and you go ahead and you will be received well in loving arms, and people will be applauding and celebrating that now you're going to heaven and you're part of the family of God. Now what we're going to do is we're going to close our eyes. It's not the words that I say, it's your heart. If you don't understand exactly what I'm talking about, you repent and receive the Lord now. I'm going to have the pastors and deacons down here, and they can come on down now if they'd like. And if you're not even comfortable with that, then you come down and talk to one of them. They'll be up here waiting for you. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. You just talk to God. You don't even have to speak out loud. If you don't want your neighbor to hear, he knows your thoughts. Lord, I'm a sinner. I understand. I've heard your message. I believe you died for me. I pray now that you save me and forgive me. I want to change. I've been fighting you. Change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and that you were raised from the dead, Lord Jesus. I commit my life to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you've been away from the Lord, then it's time to get yourself right with the Lord. You can come down and receive prayer. If you know the Lord, I have a website with a card. I have a lot of testimonies of people deceived by religion on there. Take as many cards as you want out there. Give them out to people. Make me the weirdo. I don't care. It's easy to give. Well, listen to what this doctor had to say. You know, if you're some people aren't comfortable with witnessing, that's okay. God hasn't called everyone to witness. But give it out. Reach somebody. Reach people like this. They're everywhere. We can all do our part. People's eternal souls are on the line. I don't think there's a lot of time left. Because you would say, well, how can he let this go on? He's not. You get ready. Today's your day. Don't you leave here. Every time you leave not hearing this message, you're hardening your heart and it gets harder to save. Be careful. Father, we thank you. Save them, Lord. Please save them. Amen.
God bless you guys. You guys have an awesome week. Deserve it.